Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show for Friday, June 28th. We are on a heater of some good SmackDown episodes. Last week's super eventful, so eventful, it broke my internet. Sean had to jump in. He's here more intentionally at the start of this show, joined, of course, by Alex Cardoza as well. But we have a lot to talk about, a lot that you guys might want to talk about as well. So get in those super chats, get in those Humper Chats at humperchats.com. We thank you so much for joining us. We also invite you to head on over to Fightful Select and subscribe, where we had a big update on Dijak. Holy cow. Lots to talk about there. Lots that he talked about with Sean in a 90-minute interview, which isn't behind the paywall. You can get that for free, but get those supplemental details on FightfulSelect.com. Also, an update on Warner Brothers and the AEW relationship, as that deal looks like it is headed to the home stretch. But why am I talking about FightfulSelect.com? Well, we have Sean Ross Sapp in the house. Alex, how are you doing first? And then we'll throw it back over to Sean.
So happy to be back here. I don't like Fridays without you guys, man. I don't care about family. I don't care about anything in life. But
he's
Friday
the opposite
night.
Of the bloodline. He's the opposite of the bloodline.
I just got to say, I acknowledge Kate.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate being acknowledged. But the tribal chief of Fightful, I can't even take credit for that. Sean is here to talk to us about some additional supplemental details tonight, starting with, we got some NBA action happening in this episode, Sean. We got some Knicks-Pacers rivalry continuing along in the Garden. Felt very appropriate. But I would imagine, like we saw NFL-wise, there were some complications around WrestleMania with them maybe not being so thrilled about some of the physicality that was involved. But did want to kind of kick off our part of you being here with talking about that. Any complications that you heard about on the NBA side or their involvement?
So, I mean, this is something like WWE obviously values NBA, MLB, all these places. They work with them with the championship belts and all that stuff, which is very, very important to them. And like, they knew what they were doing here. Tyrese Halliburton, huge WWE fan, if you couldn't tell recently. And this isn't the first time they've integrated someone like that into the MSG element with Trae Young as well. But getting Jalen Brunson, who is also a wrestling fan, congratulated Cody after WrestleMania. That was a big one. And finding a couple of basketball players who are rivals on the court and willing to put their egos aside to do something like this is really great, too. It's great. Honestly, it's great for everybody. It's great for the NBA as well. I've heard of no issues there. As long as there's no physicality. I know George Kittle in the NFL he didn't get in trouble, but he was told don't ever do that again when he did this, but he got physical and these guys didn't. There are certain protections in place for that, but it was a great moment. It got a ton of buzz, especially for the MSG show as well. But from what I understood, WWE knew they knew what kind of reaction this was all going to get. Everybody that I've talked to so far was very happy with it. I know that sometimes people they're like, oh my gosh, are they happy about everything? Well, of late they have been. They've been pretty happy about most things, except for a thing that we will talk about in a few moments.
Sure. And the crowd reaction was super hot. Dan Sullivan saying, when you get heat, pour some gas on it. That's exactly what they were doing with this rivalry. There was a lot of heat. And because of that, a lot of censor spots in this show, because this was New York, baby. There's a lot of cursing. When I come on here, as someone that lived in New York City for 7 years, I do my best to control my cursing, to keep it clean for you guys, but not what New York is known for. Tons of censorship involved, and I had a lot of this too. I didn't know if this was just me, because as you guys know, my internet famously not that great, but Connor saying October can't come soon enough. Fox is brutal. Also had to do a double take at Tangaloa's shirt. I did too. Looks like MJF's, but lots of things on the production side going on today.
Well, it wasn't the production side. It was more the censorship side on Fox. And I had posted a tweet that said, I'm about to have to start using my NordVPN.com/Fightful to watch SmackDown, which isn't something that I really usually have to do, but like I'm legitimately gonna do that next week because it was bad this week. And I posted that, and a wrestler who wasn't on this show said, man, like watching this at home is a chore. It feels like every single segment there's something, and they get, you know, editing out F you Solo or F the Pacers or something like that. But it's like there's so much, like it'll go blackout for like 20 or 30 seconds. You don't know what's happening here. There's stuff that goes mute for 20 or 30 seconds as well. It is something that is frustrating to people within WWE as well. They know that that's the platform they're on, and they understand that. And I mean, nothing new to the SmackDown side of things, especially when The Rock was popping up there all the time. Mm-hmm. But they're going to move to USA. And USA, quite frankly, you can say pretty much anything on USA you want. It's just a matter of what they want to make the air. And there's a lot of discussion about TVPG and TV, you know, MA and all that stuff. It's not like the ESRB for video games or the MPAA for movies, where you are assigned that and you need to adhere to it to get that. This is subjective by the distributor of the program. So WWE and Fox come to that agreement. And as long as none of their sponsors have any issues with it, they can do really well. Not on Fox, you can't do whatever you want. But on USA, you can do pretty well whatever you want. You can curse all you want over there. It's just a matter of what they're going to be okay with. Now, there's an opportunity that USA sees how things go on Netflix, and then they're like, you know, it does go a lot more naturally, and maybe we'll just rock with that. But there was some frustration there from people that I talked to.
And people sending in more chats here. Kevin Mann sharing the same frustrations. I don't know what was worse. The screen blackouts or the constant bleeping of the crowd. That's definitely something that we see a lot, even with NXT as well, just because that's a continual coming back crowd. And a lot of those crowds tend to go into business for themselves, as it said. But some love from Bad Robot here, who was having a tough day the other day. And I hope your Friday and your weekend are better, Bad Robot, saying, hello, favorite post-show SRS, amazing Dijak interview. Would suggest giving that entire interview a listen. You guys got into some good stuff in those 90 minutes. The Women's Money in the Bank is already looking like it's going to steal the show. Who do you want? I wanted Tiffy, but I think I'm pulling for Chelsea now. I think if you've got Queen Nia and Bayley facing off, and we'll get into this more later, but Nia, I think, doesn't win, but beats Bayley to a pulp. And then you have Tiffany cashing in, since we have this buddy cop dynamic. But Chelsea is hysterical. I would not be mad about that. Any thoughts from either of the fellas on that one?
Alex?
Man, I'm going all the way with Tiffy for some reason. You've changed my mind a while ago. I was going with someone completely different. And then we spoke behind the scenes about what you thought would be happening, and it totally changed my mind. I definitely want to see Tiffy hold that up. And you, what better way? You know, they love merchandising and they love doing different things with the wrestlers. A pink briefcase running around with like the Barbie style font, yeah, saying Money in the Bank. That is gold. So yeah, I for the women's side is Tiffy. For the men's side, I'm a little lost. And I've been saying this about the Money in the Bank, because this year it's actually been really good. The matches have been good. It's not predictable. So I'm like, oh man, like who from the men's side could actually take it? You know, but yeah, Tiffy on the women's side.
Tiffy in the Bank for sure is the way that I'm going to. But some more love for us, and then we'll continue picking Sean's brain about a few things. But Dawn saying hi to Kate and Sean only. Alex, you better be happy.
Wow.
We'll be seeing each other for a year. Good episode of SmackDown. Can't believe I'm saying it, but Roman, we need you back. We're going to talk about that main event segment. But speaking of bloodline related things, the unfortunate passing of Sika, but a beautiful legacy to leave behind. Very cool that kind of in the later years of his life, he got to witness a whole storyline for years and years that has been kind of a tribute to everything that he set up. Beautifully put together tonight. Sean, any additional background information on that?
Yeah, it's very important to them that they ran something like that. I mean, not only is his impression felt in this generation and the prior one, it's going to be felt for generations to come. So that was something that meant a lot to them. There were some rumors tonight that Jimmy Uso would return. I don't know where those came from, but I hadn't heard anything about that. And also Roman Reigns, from what I understand, was at the Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital the day after his father passed away. And I had to check on that when I saw somebody post about that, because I was like, hey, I think this is from last week. No, he was just there last week as well and goes there like all the time, which shows you what kind of a guy he is, because I'm not sure that he has any like obligation to be anywhere right now. Wow. And WWE certainly would have understood that. And I'm sure the Children's Hospital probably would have understood that as well. So Matt Reichel saying, here to acknowledge a tribal chief, Fightful SRS. The Roman return pop is going to be nuclear. Heyman sold that spot like a pro. They'll talk more about this later. But yeah, I haven't heard when Roman's going to be back. I'd be surprised if it was before Money in the Bank, you know, probably for a SummerSlam build or something, if that happens. But yeah, I'm and they got that cooking and sending our love to Roman and Sika. I wish I could remember what the radio show was that Roman was on. And it was so cool to see. If anybody remembers the clip, please send it to me. He was talking to the radio host, and the radio host, like you could tell, didn't know any modern wrestlers. And then he mentioned his father, and he's like, oh yeah, my father, Sika. And then the radio host goes, wait, your dad was Sika? And completely marked out. And you could see how proud Roman was in that moment. Like, you don't see him give that type of reaction to a lot of things. And that's something that always stuck with me. It was very, very cool.
I just want to add, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I just want to add real quick how emotional that was watching that package for me. Because I remember growing up as a kid watching the Wild Samoans and being deathly scared of like them, and me and my cousin pretending that we were them and just beating up other kids in the street. Like, it was fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, pretending we had the big hair. It was weird watching it, because I've been so far removed from those matches that when now that they replayed this, what do you call it? This tribute to him. It was like, I was like, oh my God, like I can feel it. I'm like, I don't know this guy from no one else, but it's just crazy. Like how much wrestling is involved in our lives.
They did a really beautiful job kind of taking you back to the roots of everything into modern day and splicing back and forth. Really, really well done tonight. But some more love coming in about that Dijak interview. Oh. Here.
Sorry, go ahead and read that. Yeah.
Oh, sure. No, praying for Kate's internet tonight. Me too. Every day, buddy. Especially considering she's missing her town's Pride event. I did get to go to the beginning of it, but I am missing the Golden Gaze, which is it's a heartbreaker, but I'll rebound.
Yeah.
Sean, great interview with Dijak. Alex, awesome to see you back. Fightful is for everyone. Hell yeah, Fightful is for everyone. And thanks to our wonderful moderators who keep us safe. But yeah, if there's anything you want to highlight from that Dijak interview, you guys talked about a lot, but I popped particularly for the "we added syllables to his name."
Yeah, so I mean, in a time where it was just becoming Otis, Elias, etc., they were like, we're going to take Donovan Dijak, or just Dijak, and make him Dominic Dijakovic. And I was like, come on, what are we doing here? And he had some pretty terrible names along the way, but this is an interview that I was very I'm always honored and flattered when somebody's willing to talk to us first and trust us with their story, so to speak. And I saw somebody say, haven't seen a good Barry WWE interview in a while. I mean, this one's a little bit different. The way that he was let go was ill-advised, and there were some heartbreaking elements of it, and like him saying that like people will just watch Fightful to find out who's getting fired. And I saw somebody misrepresent that on Twitter and say, oh, that's how people find out they're fired. And I'm like, no, that doesn't happen. We have never released the name of someone before they were informed. Mm-hmm. However, are there other talent that find out that releases are going on? Yes, they do, unfortunately. But there were three separate times Dijak recited to me where he said in much more colorful language, I'm screwed after WWE things, after Retribution started, when he got drafted, when he met Vince McMahon. He said in much more colorful language, I'm screwed multiple times there. 90 minutes. I don't do a lot of 90-minute interviews. He gave me so much time. It was really good. Fantastic interview. Fantastic interview there. And Dijak's going to do incredible stuff.
Yeah, he's a tremendous talent. I watched very closely his second NXT run, and I can't say enough about what a stalwart of that brand he was, especially in stipulation matches, especially when he's given the time to develop something. He's an outstanding talent. But thank you for the love for that interview. I recommend watching the whole thing. It's a good one. But Sean watched a lot of Dijak on Main Event. Sean's the other person that watches Main Event, but we had some changes in some dark matches, speaking of taping around the episode. Sean, anything you want to shed some light on in the dark matches?
Yeah, so, I mean, normally this isn't something I'd even really highlight, but Damian Priest brought it to everybody's attention. He was scheduled to do the Main Event dark match tonight, which obviously, as a guy from that area, was something that I'm sure is very important to him, main eventing Madison Square Garden. His plane was still on the runway as of like the time the show started. Mm-hmm. So they ended up having to change that. It was going to be Awesome Truth versus Judgment Day. I don't even think they were going to do a tag title match, but it was that. And they were going to do Jey Uso versus Damian Priest. I think they switched that around. I think it ended up being Awesome Truth versus Pretty Deadly, who came back tonight, and Finn Balor versus Jey Uso. So I think JD McDonagh, I don't know, just pissed off somewhere. I don't know what he did. But unfortunately, he didn't get to make it there. But you hate to see that, especially with something like MSG. But they were very happy. Well, they weren't happy about that. They weren't happy about the editing. They were very happy with the ticket sales. And we're going to have a lot more details on this. Backstage news on SmackDown. Producers on SmackDown tomorrow on FightfulSelect.com. The best $5 in the business. You get access to our Discord, our preview show for the pay-per-view on Sunday, Sour Graps right now, and the show Sunday. It's going to be a good time to be a subscriber of Fightful Select. I posted a very lengthy update on the WBD-AEW relationship. And yeah, I don't think they announced it tonight, but I'm going to be in New York on Christmas and throughout that week. And the goal is to go to a December 26 house show, assuming they do it, because I've wanted to go to one since I was little. And I hit up a contact and they're like, you picked the right time to put in those requests based on the the ticket sales. They were very happy with that tonight, obviously.
It is. They were hearing record-breaking gates. So there will be more updates, according to Sean, on FightfulSelect.com tomorrow. Sean, anything else that you want to leave us with as far as stuff coming up this weekend? We've got pay-per-views coming up like crazy all summer here.
Yeah, we're going to keep having news over at FightfulSelect.com. I still got a lot of contract news I'm going to drop over there. I know Corey's been working on a lot of, like, especially if you are big into the European wrestling scene, Corey has been all over that. He has leaned into that pretty heavily. And I mean, in pretty short fashion, we've become the leader in exclusive news out of that territory as well, thanks to Corey. So check that out. Again, check out our pay-per-view pre-show on Sunday. Rob Wilkins always does those. They're a good time. I swing by here and there. But yeah, I mean, man, SmackDown's been cooking, and as long as it is, I'm going to pop up here and join you guys at the top of the show. But I've got my Q&A that dropped today as well, so thank you all so much for having me.
Absolutely. I will be at Forbidden Door, and because of that, Mr. Cardoza below me will be joining Alex Pulowski on Fightful Select as well.
So I know that I believe Andrew Zarian might be there as well. I think Cresta's going to be there. Our good friend Andrew Baydala is going to be there, so whenever it is during all four of the women's matches, when Kate gets up and gets vegan chicken tenders,
Oh no, Sean's internet. Oh no.
Wow.
We've got people who will cover those matches. Don't worry about it, guys. I will make sure you don't miss out on anything.
Yo, if they have vegan chicken tenders, I might get up, okay?
Otherwise, you know, Willow's partner TBD will just still be TBD. If Kate has anything to say about it, because she's going to be there. I missed the start of Danielson and Omega because I was at concessions.
You want to know a fun fact? Our friend Cassidy Haynes is the only reason I didn't miss it, because I was at the front of the line. I had promised my group I would come back with waters because it was so hot in there. And I was like, I can't miss the start of this match. And he was like, I got you, kid. I was like, thank you. So that was was the first time I met Sean for about 3 minutes with our masks on. But
yeah, it was.
Thank you for bringing up that wonderful memory of chicken tenders. I'd really love it when you stop by, Sean. But
see you guys later.
To FightfulSelect.com for more.
Hey, I just want to say really quickly before we get off the air, Effie is a jobber and he has been completely carried by Dark Cheek and Alley Catch. Thank you. Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about Incogni.com/FightfulWrestling. There are some strange people out there, some shady people out there, and a lot of times you struggle with your own data privacy. I've had those struggles myself in the past, and it is unfortunately way too easy to look someone up and get their personal info. Sometimes you sign up for a loyalty card or a membership online, and the next thing you know, you've got a bunch of emails, a bunch of calls, because somebody has sold your data. For example, Incogni found over 200 brokers with my information. Those brokers are required to remove your name if you ask them. And you might say, man, I don't have the time to do that. Incogni.com/Fightful does. And they'll make sure it happens. Not only that, I had people signing me up for physical and digital spam emails. Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling fixed all of that. And that's just one of the many benefits of Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. Criminals do not care about the rules associated with those websites, so take it into your own hands. Incogni.com/FightfulWrestling. You just create an account, grant them the right to do the work for you, then kick back and watch them work.
Oh, my goodness. There has been something brewing between Sean Rossap and Effie. Effie, one of the more responsible aggregators probably, but talking a lot about Fightful and FightfulSelect.com. So I don't know what's going on there, but a lot of people coming for Sean Rossap, and it's not just nerds on the internet anymore. It is actual wrestlers now. But we're going to dive into our SmackDown review, guys. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats while I adjust my frame and my makeshift office here. We've got so much to dive into. You know, considering all of the production changes, Alex, I thought tonight's episode really flowed. And hearing that Damian Priest was originally scheduled for some of this, and there were all these things, obviously taping around it and such. But I really liked the follow-up from last week's episode, which was the most eventful SmackDown of the year, probably, into what we got here. What were your kind of overall thoughts? I love that we got some real match times tonight as well with these triple threat qualifiers.
The whole show felt good. It flowed very well. I didn't feel like it was dragging at any point, which is hard to say because a lot of the times these episodes have been, you know, in the past have been hard to watch. I didn't feel like anything was out of place. And the even when they included the whole Jalen Brunson thing, it flowed so well with the show. Now, granted, I don't have cable. I don't use cable. I haven't used cable in 5 years. So I do watch online with NordVPN.
Hey!
So I don't know any of your problems that you guys were having with sensors because I heard it all. So
with NordVPN, you say? The
Nord.
Most versatile VPN in the game?
Most.
NordVPN, which can save you money on pay-per-views? My God, if only someone was here to tell us.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
There's so many uses for NordVPN. I'll tell you, I've already said it before. If you have Disney Plus, get that NordVPN, switch over to the UK. Thank me later. And as of late, there's also been some other websites that I will not be mentioning here that have been blocked here in the United States when you use a VPN.
He's, of course, talking.
You go watch him.
About Nickelodeon.com. No, but we are going to dive in. Guys, thank you so much for the early support, Vicky L. saying this cash is for Alexis. Thanks, Kate and SRS. Let's go.
Thank you. Hey, Kate, make sure you send me that money, man.
Not Look, I'm sure you're a draw, but Ricardo saying, at work, love y'all. See you later tonight. Well, thank you so much for thinking about us at work. Yeah. My goodness, you guys have been so wonderful to us. But let's get into this episode of SmackDown finally. I kind of want to start with our main event and this bloodline through line. I think if we start with the opener and then just kind of talk about everything that happened, since it was probably the most eventful thing on the show, let's just lead with that because we're so deep into this review already. But we open with the bloodline getting out of the car. Love Solo with the more fitted suit. Love Solo with the gloves on. It just like has a little bit more of like a nastiness to it. I love to see it. We see them immediately getting attacked by Kevin Owens, Cody Rhodes, and Randy Orton. FightfulSelect.com had that information for you if you like a little spoiler action, but they just start going at it. And here's what I love, okay? You get your classic Randy Orton RKO. But, like, God bless Kevin Owens. If there's an opportunity for that guy to jump off of something high onto a table, and, like, he's going to do it, and he should, and it's great. What I loved about this is twice now, the past two times we've been at the Garden with the Bloodline, we've gotten very long segments, very good segments, very productive segments, but they've taken up a ton of the episode. And opening this and closing this with a little bit more action and a little less oxygen eaten up on the show was really, really refreshing, especially because this is Bloodline 2.0, right? Different motivations, different format, different champion now. Switching this up felt really good to me. But this poor security guy trained out of the Monster Factory here in Jersey by Danny Cade, shout out to them. He sells the hell out of an RKO. And Cody gets on the mic and says, they're going to talk now. You got Owens saying that they're not going to wait for Money in the Bank. You got Randy Orton saying that the Bloodline's been up his ass for 2 years and put him on the shelf for 18 months. And that Money in the Bank, they're going to put the Bloodline down. And Cody saying the Bloodline sees them as victims in the ring. And he is not here for that at all. He looks at a dangerous guy like Kevin Owens. He looks at a 14-time champion and a first ballot Hall of Famer like Randy Orton. And hell, he's the WWE champion, and he sees a sold-out Madison Square Garden. Says he should be defending against an opponent tonight that is worthy of him. But instead, he's fighting the Bloodline, and he thought he was done with them at WrestleMania. Love all of that from Cody. You get Nick Aldis coming in here. He's pissed. He's got cops with him this time around. And Cody says that there's no tribal chief or head of the table in the Bloodline and calls Solo Sikoa a seat filler. And we get Cody's music so that the crowd can get hyped about all of this. They leave peacefully with their police escorts, but this felt like, bam, we're diving into the episode. We're diving into the action. And for me, I liked the other things that we got. When we got like the whole PowerPoint with the Bloodline and The Rock doing his things, calling everybody drug addicts and whatever. Like, aces stuff, but took up like 45 minutes of a 2-hour episode.
Yeah.
Very refreshing to have this just like, bam, getting to the point. I had a lot of fun with this opener. What did you think?
Yeah. Again, they were right on the ball today. It just, you know, when you're in New York, you got to capture that crowd quickly. They're going to turn on you. We know this. They're heels. So the fact that they just kind of gave you fast-paced action to the point, you know, we're going to start beating people up. We're going to start throwing ourselves from, like you just mentioned, from scaffoldings in the MSG. it was fun, man. I really dug. I said this in the beginning. I dug the episode, but this opening was just perfect. It was just perfect. And they've haven't had many openings that were this action packed in a while. A lot of talking, or maybe just reiterating things here and there as they always do. Today was just more of this for me, please.
Yeah, and I like what Will points out here that when Cody was cutting his promo, Randy was looking at the title. Feels like Randy is going to turn heel probably sooner than later, so that Cody even just has like a top heel challenger on SmackDown. He's riding
this
babyface wave really well, but like Orton defaults to heel to me. I would love to see that. And I feel like it's going to feel really personal what he does, because we kind of have this alliance, but
a good call there.
So I loved what we got out of that. And I also like, we get another short but effective segment with the Bloodline in a little bit here in the middle of the episode, where Paul Heyman is like trying to counsel Solo Sikoa. He's saying, where's Jacob Fatu? We need to know where a guy like this is. And Solo Sikoa says, you said he was too dangerous. You're my wise man. I listen to you. Jacob Fatu is not going to be in the Bloodline. And to me, I said, oh no, Paul Heyman is about to be murdered. But Paul Heyman, always so effective in these. He has this seamless ability to go from cartoonishly over the top to feeling really grounded. And that versatility, I think, is a big piece of what makes him one of, if not the most effective managers in history. Sure. Loved that quick little bit. Not a ton there, but I liked that connective tissue. Anything that you want to jump in and comment on?
They thread the needle so well. And this is something that every company should take note of out there that's starting or has been doing wrestling for all, is just thread your stories like this. People are happy.
It's true. It's true. And I wasn't the only one who was like, oh no, Paul Heyman got murdered. Me, Normus said, Solo and the New Bloodline may want to lay low for a while because they're probably wanted for murder. A classic, classic Anchorman reference, which I will always appreciate. I made a dodgeball reference on Twitter before, because that piece of the Dijak interview where they were adding syllables to Dijak's name made me think of Franz Kalinowski-Zmijanovic when they had her to dodgeball. But you give me like a Will Ferrell, Vince Vaughn comedy that came out when I was in high school and college, like, well, I am there for it. But let's talk about this main event segment that we get. It is the Bloodline acknowledgement ceremony. Like I said, Sokoa set this up to say that they were officially making Paul Heyman the wise man for Solo Sikoa, and the new tribal chief promised that that would be the case here and that Fatu would not be there. And then as soon as they get to the ring, Solo Sikoa does what? But welcomes Jacob Fatu to the ring, revealing the big fat lie that he was telling, which we all saw coming, but Paul Heyman didn't want to believe. But he stared right at Heyman, and the look of shock on Heyman's face. I love what they're setting up with Jacob Fatu, because when he showed up, not only did everybody on the opposing side sell their ass off for Jacob Fatu and make him look like a badass threat, you saw Tama Tonga and Tongaloa looking at him like, what the hell just showed up to our own Bloodline? They are putting him over super, super strong, and Heyman adding a nice layer there. But Fatu and Tama and Loa all acknowledge Sikoa, but Paul Heyman hesitates and he says he does not acknowledge Solo Sikoa as the real tribal chief. And you know what is coming next. Samoan Spike, flying headbutt. They put Heyman through the announce table with that triple power bomb. Paul Heyman, great at selling those. That was alluded to in a super chat earlier. Can't emphasize that enough. He is so good at, obviously, he's not like an in-ring guy, but when he has spots like that, he knows exactly how to make them work. You get the new Bloodline standing tall at the end of this episode. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that, Alex.
What a great way to put everything together at the end of that episode. You mentioned it, Paul Heyman. He is the glue that holds this Bloodline storyline together. You can bring in everyone. You can bring you can bring the kids of the kids of the kids. And the thing that's going to hold this together is the fact that the wise man, who has been in the middle of everything for so long, got his butt whooped by not even Bloodline 1.0. It was like the sideline Bloodline, you know, the replacements that came in.
Yeah.
So, man, I'm nuclear. It, the pop for Roman and whoever he brings with him to face this group is going to be so nuclear. I don't think we're ready for it.
I'm so excited for it.
And
I'm
in a good way. Excited. Like, we're not ready. Like, when this happens, I don't know what state this is. Even country, yeah. What country or state this might happen in. But by God, I mean, people are going to feel the goosebumps everywhere.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I'm thinking that's probably a SummerSlam angle because you're going to want to set that up going into Survivor Series, right? Like, if Roman comes back for SummerSlam and then you can build out a Survivor Series match, think that gets really interesting. It's also the reason that I think while Yeet in the Bank is a very, very popular idea, I don't know if you want him walking around with the Money in the Bank briefcase, because I think this Bloodline storyline is going to be eating up a lot of this year. And I don't think he's going to be like singles guy Jey Uso for much longer, but we will see. Ryan Sully saying, well, we're all thinking here that the Bloodline story is just fire right now. Andrew Bedal, a good friend of the show. I get to meet him this weekend for the first time. Very excited about that. Suggested that maybe the Bloodline was setting a trap for Roman. Heyman getting destroyed leads to Roman coming back, and Paul eventually turns on Roman. Your thoughts? What does Andrew Bedal know? That's what I think. No, I sometimes, like, I love swerves like that, but sometimes the simple thing is just cleaner and better.
That's
like,
it.
I think in this case, when you have this much star power centralized to all of this, you got Hikuleo waiting in the wings, who, of anybody that's kind of come in from New Japan, I feel like him and Tama Tonga are the two that are probably going to make, like, the biggest difference.
Yeah.
I think... I like where Bedal's head is at, but for me, I just kind of want it to be clean. Keep Roman and Heyman intact. He could be an equalizer. He could be a difference maker in having the good guys win. But I feel like you got The Rock, the Usos, and Roman on one side. You've got the family tree on the other side.
Wow.
Like, there are a lot of possibilities that Hikuleo could be the thing that tips the scales in either direction. Really special to get this tonight on a night where we had that Zika video package too. And like,
Jacob got
really
that
cool.
Jacob got that mega freaking intro, man.
Yes.
He got that, like, I've been here for 10 years and this is the intro that I get, like, kind of style. Like, man, everything's just hit. I mean, outside of the Bloodline, everything else is just secondary right now. Even on Raw, like, there's nothing happening on Raw that's making me feel the way I feel every time I watch SmackDown. And I know someone's about to get their ass whooped.
It's true. I think the Wyatt Six coming in is going to be the anchor of that program.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It feels like for a while now we've had a couple of factions being the anchors of programs.
Yep.
I think Judgment Day for a long time be it. I think now they're heading toward a breakup probably. You've got the Wyatt Six that, if they do it right, and Alex Pulowski phrased this so well, have them be soloed, no pun intended, and whoever they deal with enters their little world and then is never the same, comes out different for it, but they shouldn't really be near titles. And that leaves so much openness for Drew McIntyre, for CM Punk, for Damian Priest, for the rest of that group to be adjacent to all of that. Here, I think this Bloodline stuff is going to keep going. I'm so impressed by how they've started to make it feel so fresh. And Shauna Walensky keeps the Anchorman references going by saying, well, that escalated quickly. Chef's kiss to all of it. I couldn't agree more with that. That is pretty dead on. For those of you less familiar or not familiar with Jacob Fatu, he's a main eventer right now. If you're wondering what all the strength behind the presentation is, he could go give you a main event match at SummerSlam right now. He's the kind of guy that can walk in and do that. Incredible work. And MLW, which is not always the most for me promotion, it's not one that I'm able to follow closely enough, but has yielded some incredible talent. MJF was there for a long time with his group Dynasty. Alex Hammerstone, who I am floored WWE has not called calling for. That guy is like if Hulk Hogan was really good. He's got the look. He's got the move set. He's strong.
If Hulk Hogan was really
good. I didn't watch him in the 80s. I understand his legacy to the business, but a lot of it was Hulk up leg drop.
I love you.
It worked. He was important. He was.
Can I also say this, that I
important, but
my very first wrestling event with my cousin, who I love dearly, was at MLW event at Cicero Stadium in Chicago. And that was my introduction to MJF. I got to meet MJF that day.
Very cool. Speaking of MJF, I got to say, Tama Tonga shirt. When you're someone that's dyslexic and they come out there in an MF t-shirt, that is very much in the style of the MJF font.
It has the same font, yeah.
I was in stitches. Meet Normus at the general chat here saying, from the mind that brought you Zillow Nightingale and putting QR code on Pharaoh Roads, I am the tribal beef and the final sauce. Acknowledge meat. We did have a lot of fun behind the paywall with the idea that Pharaoh would start having QR code shaped into
him. God, stop. Everyone knows here, I've been here for over 2 years now, how much I really, really appreciate QR codes.
You love
them. I'm so glad.
You're
that's over with. I should have just shaved a freaking QR code to the back of my head.
Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your Humper Chats. No QR codes here. Just humperchats.com and those super chats. Please leave a thumbs up on this video and subscribe to Fightful Select. We remind you tons of the Warner Brothers AEW update. Tons about Dijak. So much more to come because we got pay-per-views and contracts still to go, man. There's a lot. There's a lot.
And listen, I just want to say this. We spend money on far worse things. I know. I've seen some of yours' things that you buy. $5. That's literally a dollar and like 5 cents a week. I'm bad at math. Okay. A dollar and something a week, all right? Just do it.
You're Sally Struthers over here. For 70 cents a day,
all right,
you can support Fightful Select and not have to worry about false aggregation and this and that.
Dude,
and the
for
other.
Real. And listen, you trust me when I tell you this. Even I, who work here, pay for it. Like, I've been a subscriber before I decided to come on here.
You can invoice that, by the way.
And now I invoice it. I'm moving up to the $10 plan.
I was like, I don't want people to think you have to pay when you work here, but
I will gladly send you a QR code via Twitter or freaking
a QR code for Fightful Select.
For Fightful Select.
We will send it to you. You can order Fightful Select at your local restaurant, but let's dive in to the rest of this episode. Get in those super chats and Humper Chats. We appreciate your support so much today. But our first qualifier match is Jade Cargill versus Tiffany Stratton and Candice LeRae. This was a really strong showing for Jade. Let her keep the super kick. My God, she looked so good with it. There's still some fluidity things that she is up against. There are some times where you watch and she's kind of like playing possum a little bit, but they have thrown her into the fire in that she was in tag matches, which is very tricky psychology, and now she's in triple threats. Like, these are not natural environments for someone who has like had five matches on the main roster or whatever. So I thought the execution of her in-ring was very strong today. There's just some pacing things to work on, but triple threats are tricky like that. That is a common criticism I have of a lot of them. My only complaint ring-wise here is there was a little bit, this is really nitpicky, so I apologize if you're like, Kate, just watch the match.
And nitpicky Kate is her new name.
This is like extra nitpicky, but Tiffany Stratton had that wonderful handspring spot, and she should be the only one in wrestling who gets to do it because she's the only person I've seen actually pick up momentum with her handsprings because she was a shoot gymnast. She's the only one where it doesn't actually slow them down. She gains momentum going into the person in the corner. Only complaint is then shortly after we get the splashes in the corner from Jade, it just felt a little redundant to have two corner to corner spots for me. But some good in-ring other than that. And then we have Nia and Bianca coming down. They're squabbling a little bit. And Indy Hartwell, ever the opportunist, takes out Jade, who's on the outside, while the referee is trying to get Nia and Bianca under control, keeping in mind these are triple threats, so they're no DQ as a default. And Tiffany Stratton wins with the prettiest moonsault ever. I think we saw this one coming. This is a case where predictable is very good, because I think she's a favorite to win it here. But what did you think of this match? And what do you think of this Nia and Tiffany Stratton alliance? Because I dig it.
I'm not going to be as nitpicky. I thought it was, I had fun with it.
Most people are.
I had Nitpicky Kate. You can get your shirts now at nitpickykate.com. you get, but yeah, I personally thought it was, I loved it. When the girls get to, or the women, sorry, excuse me. Okay. When the women get to go out there, I just don't like, some people like, why are you calling them girls?
No, I appreciate that. But I always say like,
yeah,
the boys, you could say the
girls. Like the boys, the boys. You know
but
what I mean?
I understand and I appreciate your effort with that.
Of course, but the women really showed off. I just love watching women wrestle, not be out there prancing around trying to like do something other than what you know the squared circle is meant to be done. You know, you doing there.
Hell yeah!
And God, it's just Tiffany's so fluid. I hope that she has a super long career. Because I can't imagine her not doing this because she's so damn good at it. And even though Jade still has some, you said, fluidity problems or whatever, you know, the rate of speed that these other two ladies are working at, okay, and Jade being the bigger, you know, more athletic build, kind of like a power forward, you know, where you're not going to get through them. She might not be able to chase you down the court fast enough, but you're not going to get through them. You know what I'm saying? And I just feel like, man, Tiffany's the right choice right now when it comes to like moving forward and building a future, especially heading into the, USA Network era, Netflix era. I think she's it, man. I love that. Now, when it comes to the Tiffany and Nia Jax, man, I love Nia Jax forever. I love my big women, you know, like, and by big, I mean like women that look like they can destroy you by looking at you. Okay. Yeah. And I don't mean it by any other way. That alliance seems natural. It doesn't seem like the old school way of putting two people together where it's just like, let's put this bigger than life person with a person who's maybe a little smaller, you know, like they used to do back in the day. Someone that used to run WWE used to do. It feels natural. It feels like it could really work. And I don't trust Nia. Nia could at any moment say, hey, I'm gonna squash you and do it. You know what I'm saying? So keep an eye on that. Kind of like that Randy Orton.
Yeah, you know? You always got to have your eye out a little bit. I do think, I said it earlier, but I think Nia beating the crap out of Bayley and Tiffy cashing in is a good way to go. And then Alex Pulowski had said Nia could get tricked into kind of becoming her diesel. I also think Nia could get pissed and that could be her first feud with Tiffany. So a lot of directions to go there. And we saw Tiffany doesn't feel that different, not a far leap, I should say, from Little Miss Twisted Bliss. When Alexa Bliss was in her goddess mode and she had that relationship with Nia. Right. So I feel like this template has almost already been tested a little bit. And right. Tiffany is a different version. And I think definitely offers something different in the ring. But kind of like that, there was like a little bit of a spoiled brat feel with both of them. And
can I just say this? I agree with that. For some reason, Tiffany to me is a little bit more of a badass than
she is a little bit more of a badass. I think that's fair.
Alexa Bliss played it well. Like she played the I'm the queen really well, like you know, but for some reason, Tiffany takes it to the umph degree a little bit. Like she seems like mean spirited, could beat the crap out of you and bitch slap you at any moment. you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
100%. 100% with you on that. So some good stuff. I feel like this was a case where the predictable one should have won. I think you still get a lot out of this in that Jade and Bianca, you know, they lost their tag titles. They both lost their qualifiers. That story's obviously going to continue down the mountain. I just hope that Candice LeRae becomes something other than woman who makes everybody else look great because she sold her ass off in this. Good job by Wade Barrett today mentioning her several championships, including in NXT. She's a world-class athlete, man. She's a fantastic women's wrestler. Her run here has mostly been, hey, did you remember she was Johnny Gargano's wife, shoved down our throats for the first 3 months of her comeback? And then You know, she's had like this tag angle that's been kind of waffling. So much like Santos Escobar, who we're going to talk about in a minute, I just hope that there's something productive for her on the horizon kind of soon. But if I had to lay money on who was going to win this one, I would have bet it was Tiffany Stratton. And boy, there's a lot of things to be betting on. We got the Forbidden Door pay-per-view coming up. We've got Money in the Bank odds that people could be taking. There's a lot around the corner. And if you want the earliest betting lines and the most informed decisions, you're not going to go to Atlantic City or Vegas these days, okay? You're not going to go anywhere else but BetOnline.ag.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football. It's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
BetOnline.ag, the OGs of betting. Check them out. Check out them for all of your betting needs, not just wrestling. But like I said, there are a lot of predictions happening in the world right now. We had our predictions show with Stephanie Chase on this very channel earlier today. FightfulSelect.com also will have a Forbidden Door predictions show. But we're moving along in this episode of SmackDown. Every match tonight got two segments. I think that's part of why you and I liked the flow of this so much. Really refreshing, and it was nice to get some time around these. But we get that Sika tribute video package that we already discussed, so we will move into this second qualifier with LA Knight, Logan Paul, and Santos Escobar. And we have the Brunson and Halliburton information that we talked about earlier. Basketball implications in our wrestling today. Logan, of course, ever the heel, coming out with Tyrese Halliburton of the Pacers. He is the vehicle for the brass knucks delivery in this. But Jalen Brunson there to equalize this all. You got to love that, because you got the Knicks and you got Knight working together. Got to love the end sounds with the K's in front of them tonight. Getting the combo, getting the win here. But this was a really good match. You have LA Knight reversing a roll up to win it. I have mixed feelings on that, because I'm starting to have flashbacks to the Vince era when everything was a roll up and everything was a distraction. This roll up significantly better, though, I will say. If you're going to do a roll up, the reverse roll up much better, because it looks like you're actually trying to win the match out of it. It doesn't look nearly as lazy. It looks a lot more opportunistic. But there was a lot to like about this match. I feel like we're going to talk about what's next for Santos Escobar, because they better have something. But he got to show out a lot in this match. And my favorite thing about this match is, even with Logan Paul in there, even with all of the distractions from NBA players, LA Knight had his eyes on the prize the whole match. There was a really nice blended story that LA Knight told of, yes, I hate Logan Paul. I don't like him. I hate his guts, whatever. You saw that come into play a little bit, but at no point in this match did LA Knight forget that this is for a Money in the Bank shot, right? Like, I loved that he wasn't so distracted that he lost the match and Santos won, because he just, that darn Logan Paul got to him. Smart baby faces that remember why they're in matches is something that is definitely a new era thing. This was so nice to have LA Knight be smart enough to stay focused on why he was in the match, even with Logan Paul, even with NBA players showing up left and right. I loved that. I will say, he's in the match now. I think you're in danger if he doesn't win it. I don't think he's going to, because I think Logan Paul is going to cost him in some way, and that's going to be your SummerSlam program, which I don't hate. I just don't want them to be lazy about the way that Logan Paul takes him out. But this was a refreshing surprise. I want the best for LA Knight, but because it feels like we know it's headed that way, I kind of hate this for Sanchez Escobar, because we talk about it time over time. This guy is the complete package. He's one of the most complete wrestlers that they have. He comes out in this gear looking like a star. Alex, help me make sense of what's next for Sanchez Escobar, because I don't know anymore.
I don't know, man. I'm sad to see where it was at and where it's at now, right? Because it was at a really high. You saw the way I was talking about it, and then it came crashing down, man. It sucks, because he's definitely one of my favorites in the show right now, and I don't know. Maybe I'm putting faith into E that they're going to give him something, you know, in the future. But right now, from what I'm hearing, it's just this is it right now. They got to give LA Knight his shine. They got to give LA Knight his flowers and kind of move him forward. I don't know what they're going to do with maybe with Logan Paul. I don't know, man, because I don't know. I just don't know. I'm sad about this whole situation.
Yeah, I like that these Money in the Bank qualifiers have been relatively unpredictable. It's been refreshing.
Super unpredictable.
And
yeah.
I appreciate that about it, but it does feel like LA Knight is going to either not make it to Money in the Bank or Logan Paul is going to cost him. So you're burning that Sanchez Escobar spot, which is a bummer. But I do like that that program continues, because I think it means that your new U.S. title holder is going to be LA Knight, and that I'm all sure for. But we take a man who is here on the show to not be here for four things an episode. We've got Alex Pulowski on for the Sour Fower. Alex, not the worst 2 weeks for SmackDown, but let's pick nits. That's what we're here to do. We just talked about Sanchez Escobar not advancing. Yeah. Naomi makes even less sense to me, but I don't want to talk about what I felt like wasn't great on the show. I'm here for the Sour Fower.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there wasn't a lot to be sour about.
You have to have four things, or you can't come on.
I understand. I just wanted to come on and let you know that there's no way LA Knight is winning this because Logan Paul is 10,000,000% interfering. There's a better shot of Logan Paul interfering to cost LA Knight than there is CM Punk interfering to cost Drew McIntyre. And CM Punk is definitely interfering to cost Drew McIntyre. So like there, yeah, no, look, that was all written in the stars. That's why I don't feel so bad for Santos, because like he wasn't gonna win it either. Like here's Jey Uso's winning it. So like we all have to just accept the Yeet in the Bank shirts that we're gonna see everywhere. We just have to accept it. That's our fate. That's probably enough to be sour about, is the fact that they have made sure via offer everything that we're definitely going to get Yeet in the
Bank. I'm not totally sold on that, because I think this Bloodline reunion might make that not make sense, but I certainly understand your concern.
I don't know. I think there's a possibility that he cashes in on Solo when Solo is the champion and loses.
Fair.
Which is part of the whole, basically Money in the Bank is just going to be like the Bloodline Civil War is going to be the entire story. So,
I mean, Survivor Series timing lines up with this perfectly, right? Like if they kick this back off at SummerSlam, building into Survivor Series and having this continue.
Yeah. That sounds
a heck of a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So Kate, everything on Rampage tonight was when you went to the show.
Okay.
Like it was taped 8 days ago, this episode of Rampage was, and so they did a random match of El Fantasmo versus AR Fox, and in 8 days they're like, hey, this is the last qualifying match for the big TNT ladder match thing, and I feel like if you started doing qualifiers in May, which they did, it took you too long to flesh out that entire
to get to everybody
in there, you know. And also, you were the plot was apparently here, Jack Perry. Here's the TNT title. You're the TNT champion. And with what they've put in the ladder match with him, it's basically here, Jack Perry. Here's the TNT title. You're the TNT champion. But there's a ladder match also. Like, no, but Takeshita, maybe. Like, it'll be a fun match, but, like, there's no shot anybody else who's in the match currently will become champion. So, whatever.
A stable that holds all the gold and feels like everybody else doesn't have a chance. Where have I seen that before?
Yeah. Picking Nits, Mia Yim, just, she's not allowed to be two different people on two different shows.
Yeah. NXT and she's a different human being.
She's a different human being on Tuesdays. like she has multiple personality disorder. It's like that Shyamalan movie with James McAvoy. Like, she's got full on multiple personality disorder on two different nights of the week, and I feel like that's not okay. But three matches is a nitpick. They were all good and important.
They all went two segments, which I liked.
Right, but you know what you don't need. I know everybody loves him. You just don't need Cody Rhodes coming out here and yelling a bunch of stuff that we already know. For 5 minutes.
I mean, they do, though, in the garden. Like, I know you and I don't, but, like, yeah. They do.
Kayla Braxton, her big final moment on TV was basically off camera because everyone was focused on, in the foreground, Cody and his friends getting into the car. You don't even see her ask Nick Aldis in the background, hey, what's your thoughts about this thing that just happened? And him basically saying no comment. That was her final day on the job. After like 8 years of being one of the top people backstage.
It's so important with Paul Heyman. Like, their interactions, I feel like, are somewhere that she broke out. But we've got some super chats that have rolled in since Alex popped on. We thank you for those. Will saying, we know at Money in the Bank they're going to do a yeah and a yeet spot. That'll be the most I like yeet, I think, at all. I think that will actually be a very fun and playful interaction. Kylie just sending in love. Kylie's so supportive and wonderful of us. Happy Pride, Kylie. Happy Pride to everybody in the chat. Wrestling's for everyone. Fightful is for everyone. And Alex, I'm actually glad you're around for this because I think your mind is ripe for a question like this. Which member do you give a championship gold to the first in this new bloodline? I say Solo, but I'm nervous it's going to be The Rock.
Well, it can't be The Rock. I won't allow it.
Okay, so if you're not going to allow it, what say you?
Solo, they're really like pushing this really hard that it needs to be Solo. I was hoping for that Jacob Fatu was like secretly pulling the strings from afar. And when he showed up, he would be the real leader of the bloodline, the new bloodline. And like, Solo has been his top lieutenant, taking care of all the business before the real guy got there. But that is not what they are doing. Solo, like, Jacob Fatu is a weapon. He's not an actual person. He's a weapon. They got to make sure he never talks on the microphone. Because if he does, people are going to be like, why isn't that dude the leader? Because like, he's that good on the microphone. I think Solo is amazing. I think Solo needs to pin Cody in the Money in the Bank 6-man tag.
Agreed.
Because of how much Cody is minimizing Solo, you have to, like, if you're going to do that on the mic from Cody has to learn a lesson by having Solo pin him. And then I personally would have Solo beat Cody at SummerSlam. I think in order to get the most out of Roman's return, which will be huge, either Solo or Jacob Fatu has to be the champion when Roman comes back, not Cody. Because
that's fair.
It doesn't have the same oomph. If he's coming back to not only get revenge on the guy who decided I was your, you know, I'm the new tribal chief. If he's actually also got the title, you want that too. And Cody being like, hey, it's good to have you back, Roman. Glad we're on the same page, RE, the bloodline that we don't like. But that's my title. And Roman's like, put a pin in that. After we destroy all these guys, then, you know, so there's a lot more intrigue there than like, Cody's like, got the title. Roman comes back. Oh, cool. You can handle all this now while I go over here and have another match with Logan Paul for no reason. You know what I mean? I just hope that's not the case.
You know, I think you're right about Solo pinning Cody too. And I actually think it benefits Cody because we have not felt like there's been believable challengers. So somebody getting an upset would be good. And let's not forget, like Solo's first loss was to Cody, so there's something for him to avenge there.
Yeah.
Love to you guys, the Bangs Bangs gang, buns up. Thank you so much. Second Lieutenant Colonel Photo, we thank you for your service and happy belated to your wife. Guys, if you like what Alex is fantasy booking over here, you can catch us on FightfulSelect.com every Monday. Most pay-per-views, except for the ones I'm at, then this fella is going to fill in for me usually, which will be the case for Forbidden Door. Also on Fridays, Alex is hot off of Fightful Select doing a Rampage watch along and SmackDown review at the same time because, my God, what a five-tool player we have in Alex Pulowski. Thank goodness. But Alex, thanks for popping on here. Anything on Rampage to make note of other than ELP being in the ladder match? He'll show out in that and be great.
Mm-hmm. Queen Aminata beat Sky Blue, and then Sky Blue attacked her after the match, and Red Velvet made the save. So, like, they're doing a weird ROH cross. They actually showed highlights of the ROH women's division, like, to give storyline context for this Aminata red velvet thing. Yeah. That's weird. But that was a good match, and Aminata won with a headbutt, which I always like seeing. But yeah, that's basically it.
Just make sure everyone to catch me and Alex tomorrow at 3 a.m. when Forbidden Door's over.
Well, Sunday. Sunday.
Sunday. So it's a Sunday.
Oh, Sunday. I meant Sunday. I apologize. Sunday.
Yeah. Forbidden Door will be going all night.
Yeah, it's the sun's gonna be coming up by the time I'm like Tony Khan.
I'm starting to show from Starbucks.
Yeah, 100%. But Alex, thank you so much for coming on. Subscribe to Fightful Select. We have a lot of fun back behind the paywall, getting silly, getting sour. We have a good time.
All right. Thanks for popping on. All right. R.I.P. Paul Heyman.
R.I.P. Paul Heyman. We hardly knew ye. We do have another Humper chat that came in. Thank you for sending those in. We get to keep a little bit more of the cash when you guys go over and figure out that humperchats.com platform. But the Wrestling Guru was saying, Paul taking a bump just proves his love for the game. This Bloodline 2.0 has me pulled in. Roman Reigns is going to get a nuclear pop and be the biggest baby face without being on TV for 4 months. I am all in. I think Jimmy at Money in the Bank, Roman at SummerSlam. Man, there are refreshingly a lot of possibilities with this, and it doesn't feel like there is one definitively right move. It feels like they could go a couple of directions, and to me, that's always the sign of a good story. I feel that way about Drew and Punk. I was kind of wavering on that, I think, because in part, like, neither of those guys were cleared to fight. So now that we're getting closer to them being able to fight and they're beating the crap out of each other backstage, I'm back in on it. And I feel like there's multiple possibilities that that can happen too. So some good stuff there.
Exciting.
Tina Key saying, longtime listener, first time chatter. Well, thank you so much. Sending them right back, Tina Keys. Are you related to Alicia Keys?
She is.
Is there a Keys it's connection her
fifth
there?
Cousin and some twice people. Removed.
I'm one of them. I want it all.
Yeah.
All
Why right. don't you serenade us?
Moving on. I no will say that we get our Money in the Bank qualifier between Naomi, Indy Hartwell, and Blair Davenport. And we have Naomi winning. We get a backstage segment earlier between she and Bailey, and Naomi says, you know, I might have to cash in on you if I win this. And Bailey says, I'm rooting for you anyway. They make fun of Tiffany Stratton a little bit. And then Blair Davenport just comes in to kind of piss in their Cheerios, as it were, before this match earlier. And then during this match, we have Naomi winning via some Jade interference. I like that Naomi won with this head kick in that Bubba Bomb to get the pin. I think that was a lot of fun. But I will say all three of these qualifiers had some sort of outside shenanigans or interference, which at least in triple threats, it's more justified, right? You're taking advantage of the rules that are given to you rather than causing DQs or stretching the rules. I'm split on this. I think Naomi needed the win. I think she'll do wonderful things in this match. But Blair Davenport, didn't really get a pop because they haven't done a great job of introducing her to the main roster and then debuting in a loss. I don't know how I feel about that. I think she could have done really cool things in this match. And I can't remember what the brackets are, but if there's a last chance qualifier, Naomi winning in that actually feels like a little bit stronger of a story to me. But something with every match having shenanigans is one of my very few complaints about this episode. All of the shenanigans made sense and they were all well done and they all sat with the defaulted rules, right? So much less of a complaint that I normally have. But something that felt a little redundant to me in this episode. What did you think of this match and how do you feel about the outcomes? I really like that we've had a bunch of surprises.
Yeah, I mentioned this when Sean was on here. Extremely unpredictable as of late with the matches. I really enjoy, like, again, the women have been cooking. You know, I feel sorry for Blair Davenport. She has not felt, she's felt more as a fourth character in the movie who's just kind of floating along with like the mains, right? Where she hasn't really had anything meaningful to kind of like bring in, except for just being someone who wants to get her voice heard and kind of be seen, right? I'm hoping that all changes for her because she's a pretty good talent. Yes. And I don't, now with Naomi in the mix, like this is getting good, man.
Yeah, it's
I'm really most years. Man, Money in the Bank has been so bleh, right?
Pretty much since that Otis year, just like The Miz taking it from him. You had Austin Theory cashing in on a lower title during an open challenge. Like it got really messy.
You had people who weren't even in the match showing up. You know, Mustafa Ali getting that moment taken away from him, like. This feels legit, and I love where it's going. Again, it's the people in charge. They're just making the right moves.
Yeah, they're thinking a little bit more cohesively and longer term.
Yeah,
and that's refreshing to see, especially in this time of year. For so long, the past 2 years, it felt like we were at WrestleMania, and then we fell off a cliff. This time, it feels like everything feels important. SummerSlam feels important. You can see that Survivor Series is going to feel important. Like, it's good. It's really, really refreshing.
Let me just put this out there. You know, this is it for us. We got another 3 to 4 months of really strong building and pay-per-views, PLEs, because it's done. They're no longer doing Christmas, you know, December pay-per-views or January pay-per-views. Like, it's They're you know, so Survivor Series is it. So
yeah,
you're going to build now to get to Survivor Series, which, believe it or not, we're in July already.
Yeah.
Okay. August, September, October, boom, that's it. And so in 3 short months, you know, you're going to build your way into Survivor Series and then that's it, you know? So
these go flying, man.
I enjoy it, man. I'm enjoying it so much right now.
It is very fun for someone like, I would hope for everybody, but for someone that talks about wrestling pretty much every night of the week, it's very, very fun to have everybody kind of firing on all cylinders, the best at what they do.
Yeah.
It's really refreshing.
And everyone will have a chance to kind of like fix themselves, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
let's harp off the negativity and all the things that I've been seeing as of late. And let's see how great the freaking wrestling community, how, you know, we can be and how good wrestling has been, especially for us who report and talk about wrestling all the time. Like, there is no end to it right now.
Alexis, don't you know the smartest people in ratings are on Twitter? Will saying, I kind of want you to win Money in the Bank and go back to back because the last person to do that was Punk. Would be very fun to have on the women's side, but I think a different story is starting to cook.
You can see it.
Damage control over there, but some good possibilities. These feel like they're going to be really, really fun. Really, really fun matches. Like, there's good balances in any of them. So love to see that. We get a quick Andrade video package. This was solid stuff. I think they're just trying to make more of an effort to keep him more relevant. He just kind of says that dreams get made or broken in the Money in the Bank match. So he would be a fun winner. I don't think he has a shot at it, but like he's somebody that could cash in and lose and make someone look really good in the process. So a fun dark horse, but probably not the guy. I'm right. just glad they're using him again outside of like the speed title or whatever. So nice to have him there. And then we get DIY, who is backstage with Austin Theory. The longstanding relationship between Gargano and Austin Theory coming to the surface here. I love that. He tries to point out to Austin Theory that Grayson Waller is just using him for the titles. And Grayson Waller comes out of nowhere to attack him. I am glad that they're starting to build something from this tag division. We also have a segment earlier with Pretty Deadly and the Street Profits. And Pretty mm-hmm. Deadly says, can you picture this? Pretty Deadly the musical. And I'm like, hell yeah, I would attend it. Very glad to see them back down. And the Street Profits are like, how about the Street Profits? Kick your ass instead. Nice to see the Street Profits also doing something other than showing up to be somebody's friend for no reason. Yeah. Let's get these tag divisions up and built already. Either thoughts on either of these segments, DIY with A-Town Down and Pretty Deadly? I know you are a stan of.
I'm just waiting for the obvious DIY breakup and then Tommaso breaking a crutch over freaking Gargano's head again. Like I just for some reason every time I watch those two, I'm just waiting for them to break up. It's such a bad habit that I have because that's all they've been doing for the last couple of years. So I do want them to finally grab this gold, man. I feel like it's a long freaking time in the waiting. They're really dragging this one out. And we all know that this storyline with poor, you know, what's A Town Down Under, you know how it's going to end. You already seen it. It's already starting. The talks are starting, you know, so give my boys the titles. Let's refresh the SmackDown Tag Team Division.
Let's do that indeed. And let's also take a moment to tell you about another sponsor that we have in the No Shave Man Cave. They're a sponsor of us before. They've come back and we're so happy that they are back. They took a hiatus in general from their podcast to tend to some personal stuff, but they came back with a lot of great content coming up. They had a great mental health episode of their podcast with Thunder Rosa. This weekend, they have Jake Hager's first post-AEW interview coming out as well. So be sure to stay tuned to that. I know it's a busy wrestling weekend, but take a listen to that tomorrow when it comes out. But they are two great guys, Jason Tilson and Jared Ellis, just passionate wrestling enthusiasts like the rest of us here, right? But they bring you in-depth analysis of current events and matches. They go through title histories and they share their perspectives really as fans. And in addition to engaging discussions and insider insights, they just have a whole lot of wrestling love, but they have watch-alongs with special guests. They have interviews with top talent, like I just named. Go check out those interviews and go subscribe and support the No Shave Man Cave, two veterans that I just really appreciate their disposition on wrestling. I appreciate their efforts to discuss mental health, especially as veterans. Alex, I don't have to tell you, but they really do have some incredible interviews with some incredible talent and some really fun looks into wrestling. So go give them a listen. Go give them a lot of love and support. We really appreciate their support of us. We ask that you give it back to them. Some good stuff, especially as we're closing out Men's Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes.
Take care of our veterans. Take care of this fella next to me.
Thank you.
Dougie Doug saying, Naomi is my dark horse to win Money in the Bank. I think Naomi is going to turn heel and betray Bayley soon after getting the Money in the Bank briefcase. So I think a dark horse is a good call with this because I think Tiffy's probably more likely. And I think Chelsea Green's a fun runner-up. But it does feel cool that there are possibilities here that all feel realistic. Like, somebody else was just saying, I think it was Will, saying that he wants Io Sky. Naomi being a dark horse. Like, this field feels really good, and it feels like everybody's trying to chase their titles. You and I are both Team Tiffy, but do you have any thoughts on, like, a fun surprise?
Honestly, out of the entire pack, Naomi would be it. Unfortunately, you know, Chelsea's still kind of, like, you know, her and Piper are still doing their thing, and, like, you know, it's just... the closest would be Naomi.
Honestly. I agree. And she could use the boost if she doesn't win. I hope they get her on a track where she's picking up some more W's, because she came back to a lot of fanfare and they haven't really
put her in the bloodline.
You could. She's married. Will saying the breakup is like Triple H turning on HBK. We know it's going to happen, but we don't know when. I think that's referring to Waller and Austin Theory. Mm-hmm. I kind of hope sooner than later. I would love to see DIY be the ones to take those titles.
They're talking. They're making points. It's gonna. And if Waller turns on him,
keep in mind where SummerSlam is. Right, it's in Cleveland, Gargano's hometown. Wouldn't be mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Would not be mad about it. But guys, we'll give you a quick Rampage rundown, and then we will get the heck out of here shortly. But Orange Cassidy beating the Outrunners in what was a very fun handicap match. I got to see that one live. Renee interviewing the Learning Tree. Jericho confirms that he's got a tag partner for Forbidden Door, and they would have to wait to find out who it is. Gabe Kidd and Roddy Strong defeat the Infantry in what is a delicious pairing. Gabe Kidd and Roddy Strong live in the same world. Very fun match that I got to see live as well. We get the Reebok collab between AEW and the Dark Order in a promo that was in tribute to Brody Lee, which I think is just so awesome. ELP defeating AR Fox. ELP is a standout from New Japan. He was tagging with Hikuleo. But I think he's got single star patent all over him. So looking forward to what's next for him. Lexi Nair gets in or is interviewing Deonna Purrazzo. It'd be weird if Deonna Purrazzo was interviewing Lexi Nair, where she is promises she's going to outlast Hikaru Shida in the first round of the women's Owen. That is something I'm very much looking forward to. That women's Owen is stacked this year. Really, really a lot of growth in that AEW women's division that you love to see. Shingo Takagi defeating Dalton Castle in what was a very fun match. Dalton Castle, extremely silly, but he can wrestle, and he got to show that against Shingo. The Outcasts cutting a promo, calling out Toni Storm, Mariah May, and Mina Shirakawa losers before they say that Saraya is going to beat Mariah May on the 0 Hour. Four women's matches on the Forbidden Door card between the pre-show and the main card there. Queen Amanada defeating Sky Blue, as Alex Pulowski said earlier, being a swinging headbutt. Queen Amanada doing outstanding work as usual. Check her out on ROH if you're subscribed, with a Sky Blue attack after. So meanwhile, back in CMLL, Kyle Fletcher versus Landis Jr. for the ROH title is yet to air. But man, that should be a bunch of fun. So, not a lot left to talk about here, as we already talked about that main event segment. The only other thing on the show was Baron Corbin is backstage. Nice to see him kicking around. Wish they would give him something to do as well. But Carmelo Hayes kind of just comes in to put himself over to Apollo Crews and Baron Corbin, and they give him one of the "you kids."
Carmelo Hayes is so funny now. To me, he's like a meme. He just shows up at everybody's conversation.
I think you had to mellow in the garden. You had to do it for the I'm mellow and I'm in the garden and I actually won championships here line. But
so good. I mean, let the boy cook. I think that he's going to be a fun one to watch, man.
He absolutely is. But a solid episode of SmackDown after a really great episode last week. My internet survived this week, so I was excited to actually come and get to talk about it. But guys, so much coming up here on Fightful this weekend. You got your Fightful Select pre-show. Sean mentioned he stops by Time. You got Rob Wilkins holding that down with a really fun panel. So if you're subscribed, check that out. You've got our main channel Forbidden Door review. You've got the Collision review tomorrow. You've got Sean on the main channel, but you'll have Cardoza and Alex Pulowski on FightfulSelect.com. I will be at Forbidden Door. Please say hi if you're going to be there. If you have any questions that are reasonable, feel free to throw them my way. I'll see if I can ask them in the scrum if I have the time in the room to do so. But I love running into people. I can't wait to go and see some live wrestling this weekend. But have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. Have a safe and wonderful rest of your Pride Month and your Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. But Alex, where can people find you?
You can find me locally at your bar drinking. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that stuff. Yes, I do. You can find me on Twitter. Alexis Cardoza. You can also find me on Instagram. And of course, every single week producing podcasts all over the world.
Hell yeah.
When you follow me on Instagram, you'll see me post everything that I'm working on. So please and thank you for everyone who continues to support me and everything I do. I've missed you all last week. I was away in Atlanta playing, doing it with my Power Ranger friends and Ninja Turtles. And I was just like a kid in a goddamn candy store.
Man, Sean had his Ninja Turtle shirt on before.
I know. I'm living a life that only I cannot ever, ever in my life think I'd be able to live through. And that's including talking wrestling here to doing Power Ranger stuff to working with other people around the world. It's incredible. So thank you all. I appreciate you.
So cool when you get to make like the younger version of yourself think like,
dude,
I would think I was cool, the younger version of myself. I like that.
I'll be honest. I'd honestly, it's enough to make you cry. Like, you think about it. Like, if you were able to go back to your younger self and tell you, like, stick at this. Don't, who cares if you're a nerd? Just do it.
Yeah. Nerds rule the world, it turns out.
Hell yeah.
Love that for us. And love running into people at Forbidden Door. Please say hi if you're there. You can catch me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. You can catch me on the main channel every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday talking NXT ROH, which seems like they're shaping up to do some cool stuff. And Fridays talking SmackDown. Mondays on FightfulSelect.com with the Sour Grapes Raw review, and Wednesdays at the Mark Order podcast. We thank you so much for joining us. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We're out of here.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.